Welcome to the Full Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is when Tracy recording. It's 4:40 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is June 15th, and the Federal Reserve raised rates by 0.75% today. So that's a big move. It's the biggest single hike since 1994. So obviously they're worried about inflation. And at the press conference afterwards, I thought there were two notable things. The first was that they think they're going to raise rates up into the 3% handle. Now, it's worth reminding ourselves that the last time they went through a hiking cycle, it peaked at 2.5%. So they are also, he was very keen to suggest to markets that 75 basis point hikes weren't going to become normal, but that they're going to be responding to data. So this is exactly what happened in here today. That they had the big inflation number from a week ago, and they had to respond because the bond market had already priced in, almost fully priced in, the potential for a 75 basis point hike in here today. So there was a little bit of buy the rumor and sell, excuse me, well, I guess in this case it was selling the rumor and buying the news. So but I thought the more important thing, the second point that he made right at the end of the conference, somebody asked him what kind of advice he would give to somebody who was buying a home. And he was a little circumspect at the beginning and saying, well, we don't know what's going to happen with home prices. And then he came through at the end and said, well, it might be better off for young people to just wait until more supply comes into the market, interest rates come down. So, that, of course, is basically advising people don't buy houses. And it's, I think, reasonable to anticipate that people will stop buying houses. When we look at the, and of course, when we think about the Freddie Mac mortgage rate, that's what's referred to as a conforming rate. So, in order to qualify to even get this rate, one needs to be buying a house that qualifies, which would be usually below about 600,000, and then of course there's some adjustments depending on where you live, so it might be lower than that figure. But that rate is now at 5.25, or close enough, and that's a high that hasn't been seen since 2009. So obviously, rates have gone up a lot. Now, we didn't see a really meaningful pullback in bond yields, and we did have, like I said, a little bit of buying the news. So bond yields were down about 19 basis points. Now, that hasn't quite unwound the move that we saw yesterday, but we're very oversold. So it really wouldn't be at all surprising to see at least some pause and consolidation in here. And there's a tail on the candle for the weekly chart. So we're going to see some consolidation here around the 3% level. And then we can just flip that around really and look at the equity markets. And the S&P 500 is bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average, but not in an especially dynamic manner. It wasn't quite able to hold on to the intraday move. Then we can think about the more interest rate sensitive portion of the market, like the Nasdaq, and it didn't hold on to its really it didn't hold on to its intraday high either. Then gold bounced from the $1,800 level in here today, and it did do better. It held on to the majority of the gain that was put in today. And upside follow-through tomorrow really would be ideal, but at least it's continuing to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows. So, what exactly are people pricing in here? The first thing is that the 3-month yield has priced in the 75 basis point hike, or at least some of it. We can see here that the yield started coming down in here today. So 3-month yields are still below the Fed funds rate. And in the morning, they were at 1.75%, and by the end of the day, they're closer to 1.6. So obviously, investors here are not willing to price in additional interest rate hikes on the short end of the curve. And a good part of the reason for that is because they are still really gun shy about buying the long end of the curve. And if we take the spread between the 10-year and the 3-month, it's contracting. And it's now testing the uptrend and the region of the 200-day moving average. And if this spread starts to continue to come back down, well, then it's going to accelerate the move towards a recessionary environment. And I think that this is the crux of the argument. The Federal Reserve has two mandates. The first is to control inflation, and the second one is to seek full employment. And in many respects, they've been relatively free to raise interest rates to try and curtail inflation, and they do have to burnish their credentials for trying to control inflation. So they've been under pressure to do something, but we haven't had a major response on the employment side yet. Now, when we look at the economic statistics that came out today, I thought the retail sales were particularly worthy of mention. Because the last reading was a rise of almost 1%. The survey was pegging back that to just positive, but in fact it came through negative. And then the ex-auto sector was lower, and autos themselves are rolling over. So I think these are rather important phenomena that manufacturing had been expected to advance and was also in negative territory in here today. So there's the possibility that the economy is slowing down faster than the Federal Reserve is willing to give credence to. So I think this is a rather important fact because the latest GDP figure is going to be released in 2 weeks' time. And obviously, that's going to be a significant event because the last quarter was negative growth. And if for any reason, whether it's for technical factors or otherwise, that we get negative growth in the second quarter, and it's not that difficult to think about why that might be the case. We've had a meaningful pullback in the stock market. Oil prices have rallied significantly over the course of the last 7 months, and oil was in negative territory today, but it's still holding in the region of the $120 area. And Libya's oil has been knocked offline, and President Biden is thinking about going to Saudi Arabia and trying to negotiate to arrange a meeting with Mohammed bin Salman. And of course, on the campaign trail, he said that he was going to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah nation. That's a significant wrinkle on the geopolitical stage that's going to have to get ironed out. And Saudi Arabia is probably going to want some assurances that the USA still has their back. So, of course, the big question is, what are they going to do? Is Saudi Arabia going to be encouraged to bring some of its spare capacity online? Between Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia, they've probably got about 3 million barrels of additional supply, but it's heavy oil, and it's not going to be easy to bring it online. And Russian supply is starting to contract. All of the major international oil services companies have pulled out, and then there are sanctions on sending drilling equipment to Russia. So that's part of the effort to try and exert economic pressure on Russia. Well, of course, Russia is exerting economic pressure on the rest of the world too, and particularly Europe. And Europe is in some serious stress. But let's first think about wheat, because it's still holding above 1,000 cents. And we've had a great deal of volatility over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, but prices aren't coming back down. And this is right in the region of the peak from all the way back in 2007, but it's holding those peak levels for longer. Then let's think about some of those fertilizer companies. So Nutrien is beginning to steady in the region of the 200-day moving average. And one thing that I thought was interesting is many of the fertilizer companies, they sell their production on long-term contracts, but Nutrien sells over 60% of its production on the retail market. So, and of course, that is down from 70% in 2020. So they get to pass on more of their costs. And, or I guess they get to pass on more of the rising cost of fertilizer prices. Now, these companies, both Mosaic and Nutrien, also have spare capacity, and they're not bringing it online. In fact, they're using the shuttering of that spare capacity as a means to comply with stricter emissions regulations. Well, what that also means is they're not going to be in a position to bring a lot of new supply online. And Mosaic is also starting to firm here from the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is a potential area of support, but of course it's contingent on the grains and beans continuing to hold these elevated levels. And I think that there's a fighting chance that they might in fact do so. The number of acres that are being committed to corn is down by about 4 million because corn's very fertilizer intense. So soybeans are going to have more acres planted, and that would suggest that it's probably more likely to be the one that leads on the downside, just because there's a lot more of it being planted. Now let's think about what's going on in Europe. The ECB has been shocked by just how quickly Italian bond yields have been rising. So they're starting to think about the PEP program, and I think it's worth just considering that originally quantitative easing in the Eurozone was considered illegal. And then there were court challenges, and it was deemed that the ECB can basically do whatever they want. And that's exactly what they're doing. And the ECB is responsible for ensuring the success of the euro, because without it, they wouldn't exist. And originally, quantitative easing was about allocating funds to countries based upon their GDP. So that allowed the ECB to buy German bonds. It contributed to German yields going negative. But Italy is the third largest economy in the region, so they got to buy a lot of Italian bonds as well. Well, Germany doesn't need the ECB to be buying their bonds. Italy definitely does. So what's now happening is they're abandoning the GDP size allocation strategy and simply just spraying money to where it is required. So Italian bonds are starting to pull back from the 4% level. They're very oversold. But it's not like the risk of a recession in Europe has been avoided. In fact, I think it is already baked in the cake. And with the higher energy price and UK natural gas prices broke on the upside in here today, and the Netherlands natural gas price has also been firming. So this suggests that we're not even close to the end of the challenges that Europe is facing, and these are exceptionally difficult conditions. Not only is Europe no longer able to import oil and gas from Russia, or at least trying their best to buy less of it, but that they have to pay for it in rubles rather than euros. So this is definitely weighing on the currency. The ECB is not about to engage in quantitative tightening. Now the Federal Reserve is. They're reducing the size of their balance sheet by $47 billion a month, and they started it this month, and they anticipate ramping that up to $90 billion a month in September. And that's a lot of money. And considering the leverage that is put on that money, It's going to represent a significant financial condition tightening. So the euro wasn't quite able to rally in here today and finished out the day pretty close to where it started. And I think it's going to be hard to make a clear argument for why the euro should be rising. Well, the big question then is how long can the dollar continue to rally? It's been really very firm, and it's a little bit overbought in the short term. But the big question, of course, is going to come to bear when unemployment starts to rise. Now, we're not there yet. So I think there's room for steadying in the stock market. There's room for some steadier action in the bond markets. But then we're going to have these big questions coming back to the fore. And the VIX index had pulled back really quite abruptly in here today. So certainly some risk getting taken off the table initially, but I think that there's the strong likelihood that by the time we get to the beginning of next week, investors will have begun to reconsider. Because if the Federal Reserve puts another 150 basis points on the Fed funds rate, we're talking about significant impacts on the cost of servicing the debt. We're talking about mortgage rates that are going to be substantially higher. And the yield curve spread is looking increasingly likely that it's going to invert even further. Now, when we think about what that curve looks like, I'll try and put that up in here now. So, and I'm not succeeding. So let's try that again. So here we go. All right. Now, the 30-year is at 3.33%. The 20-year is at 3.59. So that portion of the yield curve is inverted. Then the 5-year is above the 10-year. And we're at a very lumpy looking condition where you've got very flat conditions going from 3 to 30 years, and then this steep advance between 1 month and 3 years. The more that interest rate rises, our interest rates rise, then the flatter that curve is going to be. And right before a recession starts, it's normal to anticipate that the entire yield curve will be inverted. So we're still in this softening up stage for economic activity. And one of the reasons to own gold would be that one believes that the Federal Reserve is not going to be able to follow through on its commitment to stamp out inflation, because that would represent an interest rate level that is substantially above 3%. So obviously then it begs the question, what's the neutral rate? And if they're talking about 3%, well, they probably think that's about where the neutral rate is. But maybe the neutral rate is higher than that. Or maybe the pressure that's already come to bear on the economy is going to expose just how fragile and interest rate sensitive it is. And we might be a lot closer to a recession than I think most people think is possible. Because we've definitely had a steep decline in the stock market. So then when we think about economic activity, well, I'm just not convinced that what's being referred to as a booming economic activity is actually true. But at the same time, we're oversold. So it's likely in the short term to see at least a bounce. And then I think it's more likely than not that we're going to see additional weakness. So then we can think about some of the bigger moves we've had in the currency markets. The Australian dollar was up in a dynamic manner in here today. So there's at least some belief here that particularly commodity prices can steady. And regardless of what happens, there's going to have to be infrastructure development. And copper prices were a little bit steadier in here today, but again, not in a dynamic manner. So there's nothing in the way of clear upward dynamics in the vast majority of charts to really suggest that one should jump in and be really enthusiastic. And I think also when we look at what's happening with Bitcoin, it got down to test the $20,000 level in here today. And it's now bouncing. So we're up about 10% off the low. And considering just how deep the oversold condition is, it would be really quite normal to anticipate that there will be a bounce. But I think it's also worth reminding ourselves that this is still a downtrend and it's still quite consistent. And then we have the fact that a lot of options have strikes at 20,000. So most of them are underwater because most options for Bitcoin, and I found a few today, they cost between $3,000 and $4,000. And then we also know that it has never dropped below a previous spike peak. And the last previous spike peak was about 19,511. So it's reasonable that there will be stops around those areas. Now, considering how volatile the market is and how well trading shenanigans work, I think it's reasonable that we'll get a bounce, but then we'll get a retest of the low. And bearish traders will do their best to try and shake out some of the holders. So I would think it's quite normal to anticipate that there will be a great deal of volatility yet to come in the crypto markets. But more than anything else, it's a liquidity play. The ECB is now likely to provide liquidity, and Japan is providing liquidity. So the worm is turning. Some countries are beginning to provide more liquidity, and that at least should help to slow the pace of the decline overall. But financial conditions will have to ease further in order to put in a meaningful low. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.